Good to see everybody out. I hope that everybody is doing well. It's always, always a blessing to come together, to be with brother and sister in Christ, to come out and study God's Word as we have this opportunity to do so. Always encouraged as we go through our songs and are uplifted as we listen to the words that are being sung and how they go along with the Word of God and how we can see that can strengthen our faith and see how that it is we can teach and admonish one another with. It's always a blessing to be here. Today I would like to talk about God's love. God loves you. And talk about, and to a point of how God loves us, I believe the song Jason had led earlier, Oh How I Love Jesus, went very well with what I want to talk about this morning. And that I know was randomly chose. But it sometimes just works out that songs go along. And since they are based off the scripture, or we can see how they go along with scripture and see how they do sometimes hit along with a lesson that is being preached and presented. But God loves you. First thing I want to point out as we get into the lesson is ask that question of, well, God doesn't love us. Why? Because of. There are certain things that we get caught up in thinking, well, this is why He loves us. This is how He loves us. This is how I gain His love. And understand that God does not love us for any of our works. All right, that is not why God loves you. That's not when God decided to start loving you. He did not decide to start loving you once you got baptized. He did not decide to start loving you because you had the excellent voice and you sing out and you're a beautiful singer. He does not love you because you're one who preaches the word. He did not start loving you because of that reason. He did not start loving you because how many people you've immersed into the water, how many people you've baptized. Again, we can go to the Apostle Paul and see the example in his word that he brought out. He said, we were not sent to baptize. You know, we were sent to preach the word of God, and as the word of God does its work, the people come to that faith and believe and obey the gospel and choose to get baptized. He doesn't love you because of what you're wearing. And understand as we obey the gospel, and it's another lesson, I'm not going to go into that detail, and we come to that love of God, we should look at these things and say, because I love God is why we do these things. Because we want to dress modestly, because we want to spread His love to other people. We're going to preach it because we love God. We're going to sing out because we love God. We choose to obey the gospel. Understand, this is not the reason God has chosen to love you. That once you finally obey the gospel, God has finally chosen to love you. God is our creator. We go back to Genesis and read there. Genesis chapter 1, 26 to 27. God created man and woman. Genesis chapter 2 goes into detail. God breathing giving the breath of life into Adam and taking a rib from him and creating Eve. God's our creator. He is the potter, we are the clay. Ask parents, when did they start loving their children? Parents didn't start loving their children once their children was able to give them something. Once their children was able to do something that they can sit there and say, I'm proud of them. From that moment that you find out that you're having a child, though that child has done nothing for you, they have not provided for you. They have not paid rent. Come on. You love that child. God loves us. That's why I want to focus on the Word of God this morning, is simply understanding that God loves us. He loves everybody. God is love. That's one of the points to bring out why God loves us, is God is love. He is love. So we open up our Bibles and turn to Psalm 136 and verse 26. The 136th Psalm, and looking at verse 26. As it reads here, it says, Oh, give thanks to God of heaven, for His mercy endures forever. As ESV says, His steadfast love endures forever. His mercy, and we think about that. Why is He so merciful? As we go back to the beginning of time again, He created Adam, He created Eve, He gave them everything you could ask for, placed them in the midst of the garden that provided the fruit that they could just eat of anything they desired except for one tree. One. And then they end up sinning. They end up giving into the temptation that Satan had set at their door. Ate of that one tree. Ate of that one fruit that they were told not to eat of. God could have finished it then and there. Been done. He could have punished them. But God is love. God is merciful. That He is willing to forgive them. Again, if we go just a few chapters down into chapter 6, and we see that God saw that every intent of man's heart was purely evil, He decided He's going to destroy the world. But Noah found grace in the sight of God. God is loving. God is merciful. God is kind. He forgave mankind and gave us another chance again. We go to Moses and the children of Israel, that God even told Moses He was going to destroy the children of Israel and make them a new people. But again, God ended up being merciful. God is loving. He is kind. His mercy endures forever. Psalm 86 and verse 15. Psalm 86 and verse 15. As it reads here, it says, "But You, O Lord, are a God full of compassion, and gracious, long-suffering, and abundant mercy and truth." Abundant in mercy and truth. Here again, abounding in steadfast love is the way the ESV translates that. Again, it's just His mercy, His love, His patience. It's what we have when we have love for one another. How patient are we with people who we just really don't care about what their faults are? That we get caught up and saying, "I really don't care, so I'm not going to wait." But then again, how patient are you with your children? As long as they made it to grow up to that age out of your house, I'm going to say you was patient. It's long suffering. There may be times you lost your patience. But I know that my oldest is only 8, almost 9. It takes a lot of patience to raise them, to continue to reteach them. And again, God and us, how often He has to continuously remind us of His love, His mercy, His treasure that He's willing to give you in heaven. And asking us, why do we continue to go back and sin? Why do you continue to go back here? Why do you continue to go the other direction? Why doesn't He just end it all? Because He's loving. He desires all to be saved. He's merciful. He's long-suffering. In 1 John chapter 4, in 1 John chapter 4, and we'll turn back here again later on in the lesson. 1 John chapter 4, in verses 8 and 16, I want to look at those two verses to start off with, though. It says, "He who does not love does not know God, for God is love." And in verse 16, it says, "And we have known and believed that the love that God has for us, God is love. And he who abides in love abides in God, and God in him." God is love. Plain and simple. Understanding that God loves you. Why? Because He is love. And again, I know we can have a whole complete lesson focused on what exactly is love. So much that we can learn through the Scriptures about love. Examples of what love is. Examples of what love is not. But understanding that, for us to understand it, understand what love is. Just the relationship of parents and children, God and us. Or husband and spouse, Jesus and the church. Enemies. Again, we go to Matthew 5. God, why do we love our enemies? Because God loves His enemies. Why are we merciful to Him? Because God is merciful to Him. Because God lets the sun shine on both the just and the unjust. And so therefore, again, understanding, learning what love is learning about God. Learning who God is. God loves you. And He proves that He loves us before any of these things in His actions and what He has done. In John chapter 3 and verse 16, John chapter 3 and verse 16. So it reads here, it says, "For God so loved the world." God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. Again, here it doesn't say God loved, it's not talking about God loved those who were in the world at this time and point. God loved everybody in the past. God loves everybody that is after this point, the future, and then with their present. God loves his creation. Mankind, the ones he made in his own image. So much that he gave his only begotten son. In Romans chapter 5, Romans chapter 5, and you turn along with me there in verse 8, it says, but God demonstrates his own love toward us. And then while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Again, before you and I were ever born or thought of. And while we were still sinners, before your sins were washed away, before you obeyed the gospel, before you heard about the truth, he sent his son down to die for you so that you could have the opportunity to have your sins forgiven, so that you would have the opportunity to have hope. Again, God loves us. And he loved you long before you ever came to the knowledge of the Word of God. Long before you understood the truth and chose to obey the gospel. Or if you haven't obeyed the gospel yet, God loves you. God has granted us, blessed us with today. Today, part of his long suffering, as we've read in the book in Psalms, we can see here again in 2 Peter 3 and verse 9, it says, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Then he goes forth and tells us that he has set a day, an hour, a time in which he will destroy this world, but he wants to grant everyone the opportunity to repent of their sins. Why? Because he loves you. Because he loves you. Look what he has really went through for us. And again, we're talking a long time ago, before you and I were thought of by anyone else in this world. God loves us. 1 John chapter 4, going back to 1 John. 1 John chapter 4, and you read along with me here in verse 9. Verse 9 says, in this, the love of God was manifested toward us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him. And this is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us, sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. Again, not that anything that we have done. God loved us. Not unto the point that we said it first. God already said, God loves you. Look what he's willing to give because he loves us so much. Again, Jesus brought out to the point that there's no greater love than the sacrifice that he made. In John chapter 15 and verse 13, John 15 and verse 13 says, greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. No greater love than the sacrifice Jesus made for you. That he was willing to lay down his life. He says, you know, he brings up the point that, you know, who would you really lay your life down for? Who would you be willing to sacrifice your life for? Barely will someone even think about giving their life for a righteous man, for a good man. Jesus did it for us while we were still sinners. When we weren't worthy. Not that we ever become worthy. God loves you. He loves us so much that he was willing, Jesus was willing to die a cruel death. Again, you have to think about this. Sometimes I think we take advantage, Jesus died for us. You know, you think of maybe of the situation of someone coming in the doors and you're willing to jump in front of a bullet that just, you know, you're gone. And it was an instant reaction. This wasn't just some instant reaction, a quick death. This is someone who lived up in heaven, had everything he could ask for.
never had any pain and sorrows and worries. Coming down to a world where he felt pain, sorrow, hunger, thirst. And then he went through being scourged, being spat on, being mocked, being struck, and being nailed to a cross. God loves us. He loves us so much. Now, sometimes we take advantage of that, and sometimes we forget to think how much God truly does love us. Just waking up every day, getting out of bed, knowing God's granted us that day. God's blessed us with these things. James is telling us that every good and every perfect gift comes from above. Every good and perfect gift comes from God. Think about all the good things. Again, we have the hymn in our hymn books, count your many blessings. How many times have you ever tried to sit down and start just marking blessings that God has granted you? Start with today and try to move backwards, or start with just simply, all right, he granted me life. You know, write down your birthday. Well, how many years old am I? You can write that. He's blessed me with this many years of life. How many good friends and good people have you known? How many family and relatives and siblings do you have? How many good things has God blessed you with? How many have shoes on their feet today? She's wearing them. How many have a roof over their head? How many's going to have a meal today? God has blessed us abundantly. And as we sit back, as we think about that song, oh, how I love Jesus because he first loved me. Because he first loved me. Because he's given us so much. How can you not get caught up in just being thankful? And wanting to give back to him, wanting to love him back, wanting to serve such a loving God. Whatever title you think about wearing, whether it's a child of God, whether it's a servant of God, whether it's a brother in Christ, they all sound good because God is loving. God is kind. He's the best person to work for. Not person, best being. God is love. We go back to 1 John. Chapter 4 and verse 19, we love him because he first loved us. He loved us first. He's granted us so much. But understand, just because he loves us doesn't mean he forces us into anything. That's because he loves us, he doesn't force us into anything. And so if you want that home in heaven, you do have to be willing to submit to him, to obey him. As a child, as a servant, to work for him, to serve him, to accept his gift, to accept his grace. Because just like a parent loving their children is to rebuke their children when they do wrong so that they can learn right from wrong, God is willing to show that love and chasten us. To not listen to our prayers when we're in sin to the point of if we choose to continue in sin. Not in the point that, yes, when we have sin, we have to pray to God. So God hears our prayers. He knows what you're praying. But if you choose to separate yourself, just as we study in the Old Testament time and again, God's saying, and when you cry out to me, just as we study in Samuel right now, as they choose this king, and the king starts to go the wrong path, and you cry out saying, Lord, please deliver us, I will not hear you. Why? Because they're in sin at this time and point. Because this is the consequences of their choices. But once they confess their sins, once they're willing to turn to God, submit and obey Him, God will hear them out. And He will deliver them, just as He will deliver us today. If we are willing to confess our faults to one another, if we're willing to go to Him in prayer and ask for forgiveness, if we're willing to submit and be baptized to wash our sins away, because He loves you. He wants you to be saved. He wants you to repent of your sins. But But that has to be your choice to make. So we don't leave without extending our God's invitation to any who are here that have burdens on their shoulder, that they are no longer able to bear on their own, and they know that the only way to get those off is by going to God. Going to God and having Him forgive your sins by reaching the blood of Christ through baptism. Or if you're here and you need the prayers of congregation, if you're here and you need to study the Word of God, if there's anything we can do for you, will you let it be known as we stand and sing?
I was seen in the